Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Here we go. All right, we're going to do our little confession. If you have a Bible with you, or you have, use your smartphone or whatever your device, hold it up. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. You know, something I've added personally to my own, I don't really say this one at home, but just in my confessions, I have begun to say I am addicted to the Word of God. I think that's a good confession. Some people are addicted to negative things, and we can be addicted to this life-giving book. And so you might want to start doing that too, because your mouth will take you there. Like, wow, I can't do without the Word. I just have to have it all the time. So it's good book. Amen. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for your Word and how we have opportunity to share it tonight. Your very Word, Lord, is from you. It's from your mouth to us. Thank you, Father God, as I share it tonight, that these that have come will really be fed and encouraged, and that their faith will grow to take and receive all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Or the title of my message is Profitable. When the Apostle Paul was leaving Ephesus, he knew that he would not return to that area. And in Acts 20, verse 20, he said, I have kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So he was putting faith into them. He was teaching them, and teaching them the Word of God is where you're going to get faith to have all that God has for you. And I think all of you would agree that healing is profitable to us. So I'm sure the Apostle Paul taught healing, because he taught everything that was going to be profitable. That word profitable just means simply beneficial. So it's going to add something positive to your life and helpful to you. And we know that certainly is the Word of God fully. But healing is profitable. So I'm going to share that tonight, and trust that you will be so encouraged by this good Word. That's what we focus on in here. It's not anything but the Word of God, and that's going to bless you. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing is twice in there. So you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. And it's faith will get stronger in you. And faith is required to receive from the Word of God. He is a faith God, and he has to have faith in order to get you what you need from this Word. So as you listen tonight, believe these words. Say, it's God's Word, I believe that. And the faith will come. So just know that as you do your part, He will do His part. The coming of the faith is His responsibility to manifest that to us. So He will do His part. So get excited. You're going to grow in faith tonight. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." This word live, I loved looking at things in the original text that this is in the Greek, but that word live is the word zao, Z-A-O. Now, you might be familiar with the word zoe, which is the eternal life, the life imparted to our spirits. This zio, that means life, it means to live, and it has to do with the physical body, the physical conditions. So we're going to focus on tonight on with healing, that you will be able to live according to this scripture, that you will live through Him, through His Word, through what the Word says that we are to have and to benefit from. But the word zio, live, physical condition, it's the physical conditions. It means the maintenance of physical life, the enjoyment of physical life, the recovery of physical life from the power of disease. So maintaining our physical condition would be, an example would be, okay, you've received a healing from the Lord, you have been healed of something, and if the enemy tries to put that back on you, you can absolutely resist and say, no, I'm going to maintain my physical condition here. This, I have been healed of this, and I'm not receiving that again. So you need to learn that about healing, because the enemy will many times try to put something back on you. And you have the authority and to resist that. The Bible says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you are one of the ones that he may not devour. So this maintenance of the physical condition of your life would be to say, no, not having that one. There is a scripture in Nahum 1:15 says, the enemy is totally cut off. He'll not pass this way again. So you can tell him, you're not passing this way again. You're not putting that back on me. So we need to learn that with healing, because once we're healed of something, and I believe you guys are just going to get so proficient in receiving your healing and standing on the Word of God for your healing, but also not allowing things to come back on you. And I've had to do this in my many years of walking this with healing. There have been things that have been clear for a long time. And all of a sudden, it's like, no, wait a minute. I recognize that. I've been healed of that. And no, devil, you're not doing that to me again. I'm not receiving that. So that would be, to me, that would be the maintenance of physical life. And just everything, too, that has to do with your well-being as you know, as you're walking through life, we have to take care of these bodies. We have to eat right and get some exercise to make sure that we're still, you know, being able to do what we need to do and function the way God has ordained us to all of our days. We have a work to do for God. I don't know what your work might be, but you have one. The Bible says we are His workmanship, or His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has before ordained that we walk in them. You have an ordained work, a purpose. So if you don't know what it is, ask the Lord. What am I supposed to be doing for you? All of us have something to be doing for you, and we need to have a strong physical body for that. So that's what this word live means. And Jesus came that we might live, not just exist, not just trudge through life, but live. Live victoriously. He has a victory life for each one of us. We're supposed to walk in victory. Enjoyment of physical life. Of course, that goes back to having a healthy body and just being able to function. If there's some things that, the enemy puts on you to try to just get you, just barely able to function or lacking in an area of your physical body, that messes with your enjoyment of life. So there again, He wants us to be free from those things and come through with our faith. And then a recovery of the physical life from the power of disease. And we have to recognize that the enemy does have power, but he doesn't have power over us. He's not supposed to have power over us. We have power and authority over him to receive what God has and to resist what he tries to bring. I like what Keith Moore has said. It's just stuck with me. He's come to the church many years now, once a year. That he said, the two most important things is to know what to receive and what to resist. That's a nugget, but it is so powerful. The negative, we just resist. Say, no, that does not belong to me. That sickness doesn't belong to me. That debilitating condition, that fear, that heaviness, that oppression, it does not belong to the body of Christ. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus. You belong to God. So it's our responsibility to find out all these things from the Word and walk in them. Praise God. He's with us. He helps us. He helps us all along the way. We're never alone. It's not like, wow, I have all this to do. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I am so thankful for the helper. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our guide. He's our counselor. He's our the one that's all these good things. I can't remember all of them right now, but it is amazing what the Holy Spirit does. And we are to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Acknowledge. Okay. I acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. I need your help. When you're standing for healing, there may be some days that like, whew, I needed extra help today. I need a lot of, and He's there. He will not fail you. Oh, hell, He loves you. That's what this scripture says. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, what He did for you. Not only to have eternal life and a home in heaven, oh, to live life here, to go through, come through all kinds of stuff. He didn't say you'd have a perfect life. He said you'd have an abundant life. And that abundance is winning life. It's a winning life. I like what Corrie ten Boom said in the Dutch language, that overcoming is overwinner. Don't you like that? Overwinner. I love the word win. I mean, who doesn't want to win? We are to win in life, to be overcomers, to have victory, to triumph in Christ. So get that in you. When things come against you, get that in you. Get those scriptures in you to where you just those rise up and you say, no, this is not going to put me down. This is not going to keep me down. This is not going to steal, kill, or destroy from me. I won't have it because I'm God's daughter. I'm God's son. And He's made me a winner. I'm an overcomer in life. We overcome by what He has done for us, by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. So it's so important what you are speaking. So speak these words when things come against you, that you recover from anything the devil puts on us. It's ours. It's ours to take and walk in. Okay, maintaining a good condition in our bodies, enjoying life and being healed. 2 Peter 1. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn there, I didn't put the whole scripture in here, but I don't think on your notes, maybe I did. I'm going to read it out of my Bible because I just love it. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture. I just meditate on this all the time. It's just, I just want this so in me. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness, He's given us all things that pertain to that for our lives. We are to experience this life that He has for us. And godliness. It's through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. But He mentions the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of Him. And we know that's coming from here. We have to have the knowledge of Him in this book. We have to take it into our lives. We have to, as we read about it and study, and that's what Pastor Allen always says, we always read our Bible here at this church. Well, if you're not, you're just not going to be able to experience this life and this abundance that God has for us. You're not going to have the victory. It's our responsibility. He has done everything that we need to live a full, successful life. And that's what it says. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life that's on this earth. He has equipped us. He has equipped us for the battle, so to speak. We are to fight a fight of faith. And that battle is, He's given us His word, which is the sword of the Spirit. We have all the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and we're not going to go through all of those tonight. That's a different lesson, but it's awesome. In Ephesians 6, you can go to there and study that, see what's yours. But He's defending the enemy for us. He defeated the enemy for us. He said, for this purpose He came, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's his operations, what the devil does. He's sly, and he's mean, and he's so evil and horrible. But he's been defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been defeated. And we can take our authority in the name of Jesus. We can take this word and defeat him. Every attack he comes against us. I know I've used this term, and it's so not in the scriptures, but I like it. I look at it like he is a spiritual mafia. you know, the mafia, they're not supposed to do this horrible stuff they do, but they will do it if they can get away with it. That's what the devil will do. He will, if he can get away with it with you, believe me, he's going to do it. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And that so describes sickness, doesn't it? It steals so much from you. Its ultimate goal is to kill you. But praise God, he cannot if we do not allow him to have his way in our life. If we do not allow him to put us down and keep us down. We may go through some tough stuff. We may have to walk something out where healing is concerned. But oh my goodness, the finish line is wonderful. There's victory banners and there's bells and whistles. And I know the Lord's rejoicing when we have a victory. But we receive it first with our faith, and that's what you learn in this class, the faith that you need to receive everything that this word says is ours. So I hope you're just getting excited about this. This excites me so much. You know, I've lived a long time. I will soon be 80 years old, but praise God, God's been faithful. He gets all the glory for this. But he has brought me through every sickness, every disease the enemy has put upon me. And like I said, he gets the glory, but it came from knowing his word. It came from receiving what he provided for me, where his word is concerned, all of the fullness of healing and deliverance, and walking it out by faith. And that's what I said at the very beginning. Faith is required, and all of us can have faith. It may be a thimbleful to start with, but that's okay, it'll work. You don't have to have huge amounts of faith to receive what God has for us. So get excited with me, because God has a healthy life for you. He has victory for you, and he loves you so much. And he said he gave us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I think this is interesting. He included that, because we are not to go to God just to get something. We are to go to God. Godliness means devotion to him. It means being so separated unto him and loving him. Do you love him? Oh, my goodness. Oh, he's so worthy of our love. If you love him a little, you can love him more. He needs your love. He wants your love because he wants to bless you and bless you and bless you. But he says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. We can get closer to God. I don't care how close you are. We can get closer. We can be as close as we want to be. Remember John in the Bible? He was so close, he was just leaning on his breast. He called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Wow, I like to call myself that. Of course, he loves us all, but it's my choice. It's your choice to be really, really close, to just be so in love with your Heavenly Father. And that's what he is. He is a Father. I love in Scripture, in Mark 12:30, talks about you shall love the God with all love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. He is our Father, and he is Abba to us. Jesus called him Abba once in the Scriptures, and that was right before he was going to the cross. It was in the garden, and he called him Abba, Father. And that is a term of endearment. It's a term that little children use to call out to their daddy, Abba. And Jesus called him Abba. And it is a term, I looked that up, and it means, I've got it written down here somewhere. It's a name children use when addressing their fathers. It indicates complete trust, complete trust. Inexpressible trust. And it's still used today in Israel. I was reading in a book by Max Lucado, and he said he was in Israel one time. And he was the sweetest thing. He said a crowd of people were walking across the street, and this little guy, little boy, I guess he kind of got behind his daddy, his father, and he began to cry out to him, Abba, Abba. And it just thrilled Max Lucado. He thought, wow. He's calling him Abba, and he's my Abba, because Romans 8:5 says, we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So he's our Abba. We're to be like little children, and that's what we are to him, little children, and we can call out to him, Abba, so tender and so trusting. I trust you with everything. I trust your word. I trust you that when I step out in faith, that word's going to hold me up. I don't have to be afraid. You're with me. He says he holds us by our right hand. He will walk with us whatever we're going through. It might be a lot of pain you're experiencing, but you can stand on scriptures, and we're going to get to the scripture in a minute, that he bore that pain for us, and you can go, Abba, I need some relief here. I trust you with all my heart that this is lifting off of me. And he's there. He hears your cry. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. So you can trust him with those great and mighty things. We're not sure of how this is going to work, but we can trust him. He's Abba to us. And that word father means a nourisher, a protector, an upholder. So the nourisher supplies what is necessary for life. But a close relationship with you is going to give you confidence. It's going to give you assurance. When I call out to him, wow, he's right there. And he says, what? What is it, dear? What is it, child? I'm here for you. I love you, and I want to see you through. You'll make it. You're going to make it. And that's a good thing to say when you're in the midst of something hard. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it because God's word is true, and I believe it. I'm going to make it because God is with me and he's not going to leave me. He's going to help me through this. He's walking with me. He's holding my hand. We're together in this, but he's Abba. I remember one time, and I told this in the Sunday morning healing class, about when I was a little girl. We lived out in the country, not too far from our grandparents. And so our family just walked down the gravel road to to see them, and we came to this bridge, and the bridge was a wooden bridge with these planks, these huge planks you may have seen with those ancient bridges. I'm ancient, so it's back in when I was a little girl, and I remember looking at those planks, and in between were probably maybe an inch and a half spaces, but as I looked at those, it was like, I'm going to fall through. I mean, I was so afraid. But I remember this. My daddy died when I was 7, so this is a very precious memory to me. So I was younger than that. And he swooped me up in his arms, and he carried me across that bridge. And I was so safe, and I felt so secure, and made it to the other side, miraculously. But that's how our Father does to us. He wants to swoop us up in his arms and carry us to the places that we need to be. Healing, victory, triumph. So everything we need is there for our in our Father's hands in this word to supply. John 10:10, he says, I have come that they might have life and may have it more abundantly. And that word abundant is superabundant. It's more than enough. It's not like you receive a healing and you have this nagging thing that you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. We'll kind of limp along. Okay, I've got the big things off of me, but I still have this achy stuff for this nagging thing. No, no. Believe for the whole thing. Because that's what he has for you. It's an abundant life. It's more than enough than you need. I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The New Living Translation says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with what you have in your life? There's an answer if you're not. He wants to fix it. He wants to fix whatever it is that you're dealing with, physical bodies, and you know, this goes beyond just our healing, but this is where we major on in here, of course. But he wants us to be satisfied with life. Matthew 8:16-17 is one of my favorite scriptures, at least, and I know Joy and Derek love this word too. Matthew 8. This is our Jesus. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. He just said, go. He didn't have to just stand there and say, I'm telling you, I want you to leave. You just have to depart. He said, go. And that spirit left. And he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He was referencing and fulfilling Isaiah 53:4-5. So I'm sharing with you the scriptures that I just grabbed a hold of when I was learning about healing, and I've just grabbed them and clasped them and received them and meditated on them and got them so to be a part of my life that is, you can't beat it out of me. Those are in me. But Jesus was fulfilling the scripture. This is Isaiah, who was a seer, a prophet. He was seeing, and I'm sure he had visions or something, that he saw what was going to happen at the cross. So God showed him this, and he prophesied it. This is looking towards the cross. starting with verse 1 is amazing. Let me see. I think I have time. It says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed or exposed? If you believe this report, if you believe this report, if you believe this word, this is his report right here, all of it, from cover to cover. This is the report of the Lord. These are God's words. These are words that were inspired to be written by the Holy Spirit. So these are full of power and life. They're quickening. They're life-changing. So if you believe this, look what's going to happen. The arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. Wow, the arm of the Lord? That's huge. That's a lot of power in that arm. And it will be revealed, and he will lift you out of the dark places of life. He will lift you out of sickness. He will lift you out of just negative things in your life, because if we believe this report and we receive this report and we take it as our own and thank the Lord, this is mine, I receive this word, then he's going to be reaching down and say, okay, I'm here. I'm taking you out of this. Isn't that amazing? This book, wow, it's just filled with awesome things. And it just talks about how Jesus, in verse 2, it says, he shall grow up before him. And again, Isaiah was seeing this. As a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground, he has no form or comeliness that we should see him, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, and we know that reading in the Gospels. Wow, what a life he had to walk down here for us to get to the cross. Rejected, despised, hatred. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off the brow of the hill. Whew. He went through it, and it was for you and me. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and that word sorrows in the original text means pains, and it can, of course, mean sorrowful things, too. Acquainted with grief, that means sickness, and that does bring grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. They did not see that he was sent from God. Verse 4, surely he has borne, nasa, I love that word, it lifted off, carried away our sickness, our griefs, and carried our sorrows, our pains away from us. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this is what Isaiah was saying. This is going to be the work of the cross. This is what he's going to do. He's going to take our sins. He's going to bear our sins for us, and he's going to carry and lift up our sickness and disease and lift it off of us. How he did that, I do not know, but he did. And we believe it. It's true. We've experienced it. You've also experienced salvation, I know. So you receive the lifting off of the sins and the bearing of the sins so you don't have to bear them. You can walk in an uncondemned state because he took your sins. He forgave you of all of your sins. And then if you sin now, 1 John 1:9 says that you go to him and he'll forgive them. So let's not forget that one, because none of us are perfect. But it was our iniquities, our sins. And because he had the chastisement, that word chastisement means punishment of our peace was upon him. So we can have peace. And then with his stripes, we are healed. And then 1 Peter 2:24, this is the clincher. This is Peter who walked with him. And we know Peter's life, as we read about in the Gospels, but also, even afterwards and what he did in the book of Acts for the Lord. Wow, he rose up a totally different man. He absolutely was a powerhouse for God. But 1 Peter 2:24, he's one of those I really want to get to know when I get to heaven. He really is. He's like, Peter, you were something. I learned so much from you. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree or the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were healed. Were healed. Is that past tense or what? Were healed. It's done. It's a settled fact. We were healed. So why aren't we healed now? Because we haven't received that. We haven't received the healing that he accomplished for us. And we do that with our faith. So if you haven't, you can. He has that for you. We take it with our faith. We believe this. We receive it. We take it with faith. And you'll learn more about that in the coming weeks. But it's done. It is a settled fact. It has been accomplished for us. He's not going to a cross again. He's not going to bear our sins and sicknesses again. It's already done. It's ours to take. And I know that you want it because you're here. And then Psalm 103:3, He heals all, forgives us of all of our iniquities, and he heals all of our diseases. I love how the word all is so emphasized when talking about healing. You would see Jesus healing them all, Jesus healing all the multitude, Jesus healing all that had need of healing. And in Acts 10:38, it sums up what Jesus did in the Gospels. Jesus went about healing all. You are that all. You and I are that all. That's us. He has healed us. We are in that group of all. He never told anybody no. He never said no, you can't be healed. The only time the scripture says, and it mentions it in Mark and in Matthew, he couldn't do any mighty works because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Wow, they wouldn't believe him. He couldn't help them. One account says he could do no mighty works, but he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And one translation said people with minor injuries. Maybe they had a bad cold or something. I don't know. So it wasn't anything huge, but he could have done that for them. But they would not believe him. I was talking to somebody the other day, and there was just so frustrating to talk to them because they just wouldn't grab a hold of with their faith. They weren't expressing any faith in what this book said about situations. And it was frustrating. But after they went home. I thought about Jesus. And I thought, you went through this all the time. It had to be so like, whew. It was, and he had to deal with that because some people, the common people heard him gladly and they believed. And we see a lot of him able to do a lot. I mean, he healed multitudes, but there were a lot that didn't get healed too. And I know the unbelief and even his own disciples. He told them, how is it that you have no faith? You know? Wow, Jesus and his disciples who walked with him and saw everything he did and knew he was the Son of God. How is it you don't have any faith? It's so sad. I felt for the Lord. I said, it's hard, Lord, when people won't believe your word. It really is frustrating. But what he did? He just walked away and kept preaching and teaching in other places. There would be somebody that would believe. Hey, you're the group. You're believing. You are believing. You are the believing ones because you're here to receive your healing. So you're going to have to believe. All right. faith is required. We see that in Matthew 9:22. Go over there. This is the about, and I'm not going to go into detail with it. This is the woman with the issue of blood. We teach about her a lot, and we will probably get around to her sometime this session. One of us will. We love her. We can't wait till we find out what her name is, because she's just that woman. But we know that she had faith. She didn't let the crowd and the things that could have happened to her, people being against her and trying to, you know, keep her from getting to Jesus. She pressed in and grabbed a hold and touched the hem, or some accounts say it's the border of his garment or the fringe of the garment. So she grabbed a hold of him, and virtue came out of him and healed her and cleared up the flow of blood that she had. And Jesus turned around when he found out who it was, and he said, because he knew virtue had come out of him, healing power, and she had received, and she was healed immediately. He said, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well." He didn't say, "My power made you well," which it did, but if she hadn't had the faith, it wouldn't have happened. So faith, key. It is key. It has to be. And then Matthew 15. The book of Matthew, if you want some, just read through the book of Matthew. It's got so much about healing and wonderful, wonderful examples, accounts of how people received. So these will show you keys to faith. How she spoke, first of all, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be whole." So her faith, her words were speaking faith before she got to him. So that's a key. But she was determined. She was going to have this. So she made a lot of choices that could have been negative toward her to bring her harm, because she was not supposed to be out in public with the flow of blood. She was supposed to be separated from people. So she took some chances there, but she didn't care. If I touch him, and she made sure she got there. But that persistence is a key to faith as well. We don't let the devil stop us. We don't quit. We do not get discouraged over people who don't believe with us. I don't care what you believe. It's my faith that's going to make me whole. So don't let that deter you. If you have some people trying to be negative, say, "No, it's my faith. It's going to make me whole." Matthew 15. When the woman who didn't even have a covenant with God, she was a Canaanite, Canaanites were idol worshipers, but she had faith, and she told the Lord. She went to him for healing for her daughter, and Jesus called it the children's bread. This doesn't belong to you. She said, "Yeah, but there's some crumbs maybe I can have." It touched his heart so, and the faith that she had. He said, "This is a woman who did not have a covenant with." She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. He said, "Great is your faith." Somebody who normally wouldn't have had faith. But he said, "Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Faith amazes. It's amazing. And it so pleases the Lord. Mark 10, and he actually says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that's something that we really need to take note of. Faith pleases the Lord. Mark 10. Blind Bartimaeus, here's another picture of faith and how he had heard. So if he had heard of Jesus, so he heard that he was a healer. He must have heard that he was healing blind eyes, because he said, "Jesus, son of David," verse 47, "have mercy on me." He had seen him have mercy on other people. And people's eyes were open. People were healed and delivered and set free. So he had heard that. He said he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. So he had faith. So he had, faith comes by hearing. So he had to have heard that this amazing Jesus was a miracle worker and a healer. But he was warned, don't bother him. Be quiet. But he kept hollering. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think that's how he said it. It was an exclamation point behind that. I think he was so emphatic, like, on me, have mercy on me. So Jesus stopped. And this is an amazing thing that blind Bartimaeus did. He threw his garment, it was called he was able to ask for alms. Apparently, it was a legal thing they had to wear if they had a legal way to, or approved way to ask for alms. And so he threw it aside, like, I'm not going to need this anymore. He's going to have mercy on me. And when he got to Jesus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? This is so funny, because he was blind, you know. But Jesus still had him ask. You know, he had him ask, and the Bible tells us we need to ask when we need something. Be specific. I need this, Lord. And the blind man said, Rabboni, means master, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That word received, it was his faith, but it received. It took. So that's what we have to do when we want healing. We have to take it. We have to receive it and possess it as our very own. All right. As you've been listening, your faith has been fed. You've been hearing the word. It's not me. I'm just speaking his words. It's the word that's brought faith to you. But these classes aren't enough. So you have an assignment. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to give you an assignment. Yay! We want you all to make an A. Proverbs 4. Got to get this word in your heart, because it's when it's in here, that's when it's going to work. Not here. You can hear about it and you can say, oh, that's good. It has to be in here, in the inner man, inside of you, in your spirit. That's when it will work. That's when you're going to see your victory. That's when you're going to see faith just begin to just move all over the place, and everything, every disease and sickness that has been tormenting you will lift away. But Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So this is what your assignment is. Begin to get these scriptures I shared tonight. Do we have a list back there? Do we have any kind of... Yeah, Derek has something he can share with you. You can pick up back there. But just if you Bible Gateway. Everybody can get Bible Gateway on your phone and start looking up scriptures on healing or faith or healed or anything that has to do with, just getting the truth of this healing and how to receive in your heart. But give your attention. You know, the devil is after our attention. Have you noticed that? I mean, he is. You can't, a phone... A text comes in, or there's a call, or there's something to distract you. Take your phone, put it in another room, and say, you're not bothering me. I'm going to meditate the Word of God. Be purposeful and be very serious about this. This is life and death. Could be a life and death. Maybe not right now, but on down the road, the devil could try to put something horrible on you. Learn this early in life and walk in it. It's that maintenance of the physical life. In Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or we could say in the word of the Lord to us in the New Testament. And in his law, in his word, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That word prosper is succeed. You'll succeed. As you get this word so in you, you just get it, you get so rooted in the word of God and just let it feed your spirit all the time, not just in and out. Just be consistent with this. But meditate means to ponder, to muse, to contemplate, speak it to yourself. And this is how the word drops into you and is deposited on the inside. And that's when you're going to see results out here. Okay, the word has to be in our heart and in our mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. In meditation, I have quite a few scriptures on here, this page that you got. And if just read over them and park with them and think about them and speak them out. But Romans 10, 9 and 10. Says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, there's your spirit, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word salvation is soteria, which includes healing. It means protection and preservation and healing and safety and happiness. So with a mouth, confession is made to all of this. And really, it's what you're confessing the word. Confession means saying the same thing. So we're saying what the word says about us. With my mouth, confession is made unto healing. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. God's word says so. So I am agreeing with that. I'm saying the same thing that the scripture says. So it's working in my heart. It's in my mouth and in my heart. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believe, therefore we speak. This is called a spirit of faith. Let's just turn over there just to read all of it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, the breath of faith, that's what spirit means, the breath of faith. We are speaking, our breath is speaking faith here. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Hallelujah. We got to speak this word. We got to speak. We have to say it. It may sound like it got cotton in your mouth at first, but don't let that bother you. Just keep it up. This works. The words of our mouth agreeing with our heart, with the word of God are so powerful. They're so dynamic. They're full of the power of God. And if you speak the negative, you're going to take yourself down into a pit. So stop it. Don't do that. That's something we're through with. We're not going to speak. I was speaking to somebody this afternoon before I came up here, talking on the phone, and I said, you cannot be saying negative things all the time. You cannot switch over to the good. Switch over to positive things. Agree with what Scripture says. And that's going to work life in your life. If you've got it in your mouth, it'll work here. So let's just really get so serious about this. We do all of this, and we're going to have healings and miracles. We've been believing for miracles. We know that God is a miracle worker. We've been believing for miracles. And to me, miracles are healings are wonderful, and I think healings are a miracle. But miracles bring such glory to God, and that's what we want. We want people to see what a great big God He is. Amazing Father, amazing God, just so awesome and wonderful. Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified Bible says, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. So praise God. When He can have a word to perform, I mean, He's there waiting to perform it. And when He has our cooperation, He gets excited. I know He does. I get excited, so I know He does. So He's such an amazing God. This word is so wonderful. He has healing for every one of you. And I trust that y'all are just growing up so strong in faith, and that you're going to see your lives transformed by this beautiful word. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful word. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us, that we may be healed and whole, that we may walk in this life victorious, that we may have a good life physically, not only a life waiting for us on the other side in eternity, but you have good things for us here. You provided for them all. You've given us all things that pertain to life down here. And we thank you and give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.